and a lot about how certain relationships have blown me away and have helped me to be who I am today. Okay, so before I do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning to thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for being an amazing God. Father, you've taken us from our youth, God, to where we are. You've allowed us to go through colleges for some of us, through high school for some of us, and to be able to be at a place where we can study what we want to become, Father. Father, I want to pray and ask, oh God, take me out of the way. Allow your spirit to come down, Father, and touch each and every single one of our hearts. Oh God, we are unworthy to know that, Father, you have chosen us out of the darkness into your wonderful light. And I pray and beg, Father, that we will truly want to have and grasp and reach for friends. We will change our lives with you. Thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the privilege of being on campus. And I pray and ask that all this will be to your glory. It is in your Son that I pray. Amen. Life-changing relationships. Now, before I start, let me, you know, Barnabas alluded to where I come from. I was born in Italy. All right, my parents met in Italy. I was born there. Originally, they're from Cameroon, though. I've been here since 95, so it's been a while. So I did my high school here, and obviously varsity. So I've been here a while, right? So it's you know, I've seen a couple of things that, you know, I can relate to some of you guys. And, you know, in terms of the culture, in terms of how the mentality is. Now, but it's amazing because, you know, being on campus is, I don't know, guys, it's amazing. Hey? Can I have an amen? Amen. Being on campus is awesome. I know for me, man, I was like, woo! That campus is awesome. Okay? When you get to singles, ish. You know? My wife and I, we serve in the singles and you know, it's tough, man, to get people to move along but it's campus is awesome. I don't know what to say. It's, you know, I've always told the guys when I was on campus, it's a privilege to be on campus. It's a privilege to study, guys. It's an amazing privilege. You know, you used to tell me that for every person that's on campus, there's 5 or 10 people waiting to take your place. 5 or 10 people waiting to take your place. So you got to be grateful. Okay? You got to be grateful. So it's an amazing privilege. Like Barnabas said, I was baptized, or I was met. Actually, I was brought to church by my mom. You know, she studied the Bible. She didn't become a disciple though, but I did, which was awesome. In 2001, which was quite a while back, but not so far back. Then I got married. That was awesome. You know, some of you guys were at the wedding right here. In 2010. So it's been amazing. Okay, I studied engineering, like you said. I did aeronautical engineering, graduated in 2007, went back to my MSc, graduated in 2011. All right, so I know a bit about campus life. Okay, I've been there. I almost became a professional student. Yes. Some of you might be like, shh. Yeah, that's me. Okay. So I know a bit about it, but before we start, I mean, obviously the topic is life-changing relationships. How do you, you know, let's just take three hands. How do you define a life-changing relationship? What do you guys think? How do you define a life-changing relationship? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, like iron sharpens iron, inspire one another. Who else? learn from each other. Encouragement towards one another. Okay, it's true. All of that is true. Now, what does it take to build a life-changing relationship?
Vulnerability.
Very important. You gotta be vulnerable. Patience, yes? Open and honesty. Right? Humility, definitely. Love.
Visions and expectations.
That's a lot of, yeah? Time. I was waiting for that. It takes time. Okay? See, it's really tough to build a good and long-lasting relationship. Okay? I've been around for 10 years, and I mean, I've had a lot of friends, but not all of them are my friends today. And not all of them are friends that inspire me to be better. Okay? Some of us have friends, but not all your friends will inspire you to have amazing relationship with God. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about friends that need to inspire you to be full of life for God. Okay? So we're going to look at three things. And the first thing is be my armor bearer. You know, the amazing thing about... The amazing thing about being an armor bearer, does anybody know the definition of armor bearer? Anybody? What's an armor bearer? Armor bearer. Anybody? It's in a dictionary. Yes. Yes, part of it. He's willing to die with you, and he goes wherever you are going. And you know, that I'm going to have a little clip that hopefully explains, but this is a picture of an armor, of biblical story of an armor bearer. This is actually Jonathan and his armor bearer. And we're going to read a bit into that story, but that's exactly that. An armor bearer is someone who's willing to go with you wherever you go and is willing to die with you wherever you go. Okay? Now, there's a little clip. Hopefully it works. Let's have a look. This is the Gladiator. Let's try again. You guys will see. Okay, that for me is an example of an armor bearer, right? You know, Gladiator is obviously a very gruesome movie, okay? So
You know, there was no way I was going to show this with sisters here. Okay. So you guys are a bunch of men. If some of you were like, then speak to your disciple. But the thing is, armor bearer is someone who's there. See, on campus, you need someone who's there with you. See, we all face battles on campus, right? Some of us, we face battles, personal battles. Some of us, we just face battles in terms of evangelism, prayer, your school. We need an armor bearer, guys. You and I need an armor bearer. Okay? Now, let's turn to 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. Are we together, guys? 1 Samuel 14 from 6 to 10. Verse 6 to 10. Okay, if you're there, it reads, Jonathan said to the young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Jonathan said, come on then. We will cross over towards them and let them see us. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into the hands of the nation of Israel. Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, what are the odds of two men with one having a weapon and the whole army saying, no, please stay away, please stay away. Really? So Jonathan's like, man, they're going to tell us to come and let it be a sign for us. See, the first point of an armor bearer, you know, that as the scripture is saying, is, you know, the armor bearer says, go ahead. Go ahead. And I don't know if you know who this man is. You know, some of you guys know Nao. Now, Nao is an interesting story. We've been friends for a long time. And Nao has, what can I say, he has persevered through school. You know, I don't know what else to say, but God has made him to learn a hard lesson at school. You know, he had to repeat a lot of times. A lot of times. I don't know what the record is, but it was a lot of years. But there was a time when I sat down, I used to disciple him, and I sat down with him, and I could see there was a point of almost no return. A point of, you know what, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if this is the road. And the only thing I said to him is, bro, go ahead. Go ahead. This is a lesson for you. And we can all glorify God when you make it. Amen? Amen. We can all glorify, because it's to God's glory, right? Amen. It's not to his glory he finishes, it's to God's glory. And we will all glorify. So part of being an armor bearer is to be able to tell your brother, go ahead, bro. I am with you. Go ahead. I will not fall back. I'll be right behind you. See, we gotta have that relationship with one another where we are able to say, bro, go ahead. You lead me, but I'm right there with you. Amen? Amen. See, we can't have these plastic, superficial relationships with one another. Okay? This is a godly battle, guys. Right? Amen?
Amen.
You guys joined up a godly battle, man. You didn't join up to just pass. You didn't join campus so you can pass your degree and move on. So you got to be able to find someone and be that someone who says, go ahead. Amen. But the other point, you know, I wanted to show you the scripture. This was campus 2004. Okay, 04. Okay. Some of you guys still remember some of these. Now, I'm the one, the blondie sort of up there. Okay, that's me. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, yeah, amen. And yeah, this is the guy I want to talk about today, and that is Jonathan. Some of you guys know Jonathan. Jonathan Colwick. Who knows Jonathan Colwick? Okay, some of you. Jonathan Colwick, we studied, he's now in England, we studied engineering together, and the amazing part about Jonathan is he's a fighter, okay? He fights. Now I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying like that, but I'm saying in terms of his character, he's a fighter, okay? His dream was to be part of a Formula One team, okay? Currently, he's an engineer for the ProDrive Rally Racing in England. So he's a fighter and he knows what he wants. But the reason for Jonathan is this. Part of that scripture says, I am with you heart and soul. See, you can be there, right? But your heart is not really there. Does it make sense? So you can't be there. And, you know, you guys can gather here, but maybe you think about something else, or you actually want to be somewhere else. Either encouraging that sister, you know. but your heart is not really here. See, part of being an armor bearer, guys, we've got to be together, heart and soul. We can't make it if we are not together, heart and soul. We gel, and that's why I bring Jonathan, because, you know, there were tough times in campus. Now, some of you might remember, but some of you might not. But there was a time on campus where it was, you know, I could say dead. You know, there was, everybody had graduated or, you know, had left the church or had moved on to singles. So I remember on East Campus, it was really only me and Jonathan. At that time, there was no staff guy. There was no Barnabas, there was no Justin, no Ivor. Okay, it was just us. And one thing Jonathan and I decided to do is, man, we need to make it happen. I am with you. Bro, if you need to register, let's register the society. Bro, if we need to organize events, let's organize it. If we need to pray and fast for God to bring our studies, let's do that. This was all during the time we had to pass engineering, guys. I don't know about you, but at Wits, when it comes to engineering, ish. You know, the Wits motto is, what is it again? Gives you the edge, okay? Our motto was, the struggle continues. That was our motto. It was tough. Okay, so but we made a decision. We are going to do this for God, irrespective of who's looking or not looking, heart and soul together. You know, today he's leading the teens ministry in the London church, and he just recently got a baby daughter. Life-changing relationships, guys. That's the point, is those memories are still with me. Why? Because it made an impact. I made a decision that day, irrespective of my schedule, irrespective of whether I have money, irrespective of my circumstance, irrespective of where I come from, irrespective of where I don't come from, I will be what I needed be heart and soul for God. Amen? Amen? That is the challenge for all of us, guys. You can't wait for Barnabas to make a plan so that we all get together and do a little get-together. Heart and soul, you got to be wanting this. And that is part of us gelling together and being an armor bearer. Amen? Amen. But the second point, are we together? Am I making sense? Okay. Just checking, you know. You know, you got to check. Campus guys, you know. Second point of being, of having a life-changing relationship is, you know, the title there is being a worker approved. Now, you can guess what the scripture will be, but there is a scripture there. Can anybody quote the scripture? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Yes. This is the truth. Amen. Ha, the preacher's got it. Okay? I was going to say it's his job to have it. But just checking, just pulling his leg. Okay? A worker approved. Do your best. See, I became a campus student 2001. I got baptized September 14th, 2001. Okay, I was, if I didn't get baptized, I was going to be so lost, man. They used to call me the ginger man or something like that. And the reason for that is because I had this crazy look. You know, I had orangey, goldish hair, okay? I used to wear an orange vest, you know? And I had these, now that I think of it, horrendous orange glasses. I thought I was cool, you know? And they used to call me Ginger, yes, Ginger, that's right. And so I was gone. I was going on the wrong path, guys. But I got the guy studied the Bible with me. But the thing is, the amazing thing about having life-changing relationship. I don't know if you know who this man is. Do you guys know who this is? Anybody? Hans Zacher. Okay, we used to call him Solo. There's a reason for that. He used to be very, very, very solo. This is the man who baptized me. Okay? You know, if he didn't spend the time and the hours and the concern to want to see me become and someone who does his best for God, I don't think I would be here today speaking to you. See, it says, do your best. You know, I used to be very timid. I think I am sometimes, okay? And I used to stutter. I couldn't speak to more than one person at a time. I'm serious. I if someone else comes in, I'll be like, I couldn't. And he helped me. So you guys think, huh? Help you with the stuttering. Is that part of discipling? It is. It is. Because John 12 says, man, you got to be able to say what it says, but also how you should say. The how is important. To be able to speak with authority, not with pride and arrogance, but authority of scriptures. So he helped me to be the best that I could be. See, part of discipling and part of being a worker, we are all workers, amen?
Amen.
You know, we work on campus, okay? Now, if you thought you just went on campus just to go to class, let someone speak to you. But we are workers, and it's very important that we all understand that. But we need friends who drive the best out of us. Okay?
We can't, you know, you can't be like, yeah, yeah, sure, Mfethu, who's it? Yeah, no, sharp. Ah, no, Ukraine. Yeah. Oh, okay. Ah, no, so born, yeah. Prepare for me, yeah. Like, you gotta be able to have tight. Someone who says, bro, you know what? You can do that better. Come on, man, let's, you know, and I'm talking about maybe Bible studies. Some of you guys didn't go, maybe you did, equipping. Did anybody do equipping? Do you even know what equipping is? Okay, equipping, which was, you know, it's an important thing, but it's now part of discipling, is to be able to correctly handle the word of truth. To do your best. That when you speak to someone and you say, bro, this is what the Bible says, it's not because you got some little note that says, oh, this is the word of God study. But because you have the conviction that this is what you need in your life. Amen? You got to do your best, guys. When you do the Bible studies, it's got to be awesome. The guy must feel like, oh, I'm in a group of pastors, man. They just know their stuff. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? That was what I was discipled on. I'm like, bro, you need to know your stuff. You need to be able to say, yeah, that's actually the wrong verse. Huh? Yeah. The verse says this. Okay, you're thinking, yo, that's hectic. But that's what I'm talking about. Being your best for God. Amen? See, that's very important. And he helped me. And today, he's after 7.5 years of marriage, he finally will have a baby at the end of the year. You know, and that's amazing. See, the other scripture, I don't have to turn there, but it says, don't let anyone look down on you. This is very important for campus. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Part of being a worker, approve. Set an example for the believers. See, some of you guys don't think this applies to you. You know? You don't take yourself seriously anyway. That's just the truth. Okay? Straight talk, right? That's just the truth. Some of you guys don't take yourself seriously. It's just a joke. You know, you think you're a joke. You joke around. Okay? But the Bible is still the Bible. You gotta set an example, guys. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Just because you're 20, 22, 23, doesn't mean you can't set an example. Am I making sense? See, it's very important that we understand that. See, look, this is just a number, but 90%, if not more, of church leaders come out of campus. Let me repeat that. 90% or more of church leaders started on campus. But it didn't happen because it's like you just stumbled. What's up, guys? Okay? Because they made a conscious decision to set an example. To say, I'm going to be representing God in my classroom. I'm going to be representing God with the people I talk to, with the people I do assignments with the people I share my faith with my professors. I am going to set an example. I'm not going to be hanging around the guys at the back being like, yeah, I wonder what this clown is going to say today. Because some of us are part of those groups. And it's wrong. It's sin. It's wrong, guys. You got to set an example. Because you win over people with your life. not with what you say. Because when people look at you and they're like, weren't you that guy that they said you got excluded? And you're toy. Okay, it's like, really? You got to set an example. See, the issue of money and taking sisters on dates, guys, this is a serious topic. Now, some of you might think, money, yo, nothing. I don't have. I am broke. I can spell broke backwards. Now, I can relate. Okay? I was on campus. You know, I used to buy a 5 rand Chelsea bun and cut it in four so that it lasts the day. I can relate. But that doesn't exempt me. Just because that's my circumstance doesn't mean I don't do anything about it. Why? Because the scriptures still applies to me. I gotta set an example. You know, some of us, back in the days, you know, we part of discipling was, bro, you need to have some sort of living, of income. You're thinking, how? It's possible. You know, I know my parents at the time had like a little spaza shop, and I decided to buy a, you know, the small little phone, what do you call them? Public phones. You know those public phones, those mobile public phones you have all over the place? And I decided to, you know, they gave me some cash, and I fundraised also the other part of the money. And I got myself a public phone so that when people go into the shop, they'll maybe make a little call in here and there, and I'll collect the money. And that's how I took my sisters on dates. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, we are campus students, guys. We've got bright minds in this room. Okay, some of us are studying some serious stuff. Serious. Okay, so don't think you're exempted. Just because you don't have doesn't mean you can't do, guys. See, some of us, you know, back then we had part-time jobs. Some of us, back then we had cars. The ministry was mobile. You know, nowadays I'm hearing someone driving 4 or 5 times between a venue to drop people off. What's up with that? Guys, what's wrong? You're like, and then you don't even pitch in for petrol money. Yeah, hello. Oh, I mean, well. That's wrong, guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to set an example. This scripture applies to all of us. Okay? And it's important to understand that. You know, when my parents went through a tough time financially, and I had to move out of home. Not move out, actually, we had to move out of the house. and I moved in with the brothers. Heinz was one of them. And but the guy said, you know, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 basically says what? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says what? Yes, Pastor. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the brother said to me. I was on campus. I had nothing. And they're like, bro, in this house, you don't work, you don't eat. They were all singles. Okay? So they had jobs. So they could provide for me. Okay? And that was a hard lesson. So what basically they had structured for me was a chores plan in the house. You know? Monday, I did the dishes. Tuesday, I cleaned so-and-so's bathroom. Wednesday, I did the lounge. Thursday, maybe I did the cooking. Friday, I think I was off. Amen. Saturday, I was the gardener. And Sunday, I had a part-time job at the Cuthbert at the time. You guys remember Cuthbert? Yeah, long time. Yes. You know, and I worked after
after church. But what was the point? And remember, when I didn't make it, you know, when I was feeling like, oh, guys, this is too much, they had a D group with me. Like, bro, what's up, man? My bathroom is dirty, dog. I mean, I can't shower in the bathroom. That's why you're here. It was a tough lesson. Because I'm thinking, these are my brothers that I go to church with. But they reminded me of the scripture. I was campus, guys, just like you. I had to worry about my courses just like you. I had to worry about my bursary. Well, I didn't have a bursary. I had to worry about, you know, passing, just like you. But they reminded me of the scripture. Amen? You got to have guys, you know, you got to be willing to be corrected and rebuked. Because that's how this scripture gets applied usually. Bro, you got to set an example, man. Stop whatever you're doing. Okay? It's time to change. It's time to grow up. Okay? And a lot of us need to do some growing. In this room, a lot of us need to do some growing. Okay? And we got to set an example. Amen? So it's quite important. Are we all together? You know? And you know, just on a side note, but if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have met my wife. You know, because I wouldn't have had money to, because I mean, at the time, she was studying in Pretoria, UNISA. And she was going to the Pretoria church. If I didn't have money, I would have been like, hey man, sorry. Hey. Peace. See you at church, right? Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So God blesses through your hard efforts. Amen. Visions and dreams. Now, this is probably an awesome one. But I want to, hopefully this clip will work. But in Acts 26, you don't have to turn there because of time. Acts 26, verse 9 to 23 says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some of the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day that I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses would say would happen, that the Messiah will suffer. At the first rise from the dead, will bring the message of light to his own people and the Gentiles." You know, campus is a place of dreams. Okay? There's no other ministry. Teens, preteens, singles, marrieds. Campus is a place to have a vision. You go through campus without a vision, you've blown it. Sorry to say it. There's no going back, because that's where you get fed with the knowledge of how to go for your vision. And the time. Okay? You have the time to get to know or get to pursue your vision. You know, but the most important part about the scripture says, I was not obedient or not disobedient to the vision. And very simply, God has called each one of us to respond. Each one of us, God has called us. You got to respond. Jesus called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. It is time to dream big. Amen? Amen. God wants you to dream big. See, a short story. Before I got baptized, I wasn't in my class, and we had a double. It's just it was a very funny story. But anyway, I had a double, you know, a lecture after another. But during the break of the double, I went to the whole class and said, I wasn't baptized yet. I wasn't a disciple. Well, I was a disciple. I wasn't baptized yet. And I said to the class, hey, listen, sorry. Excuse me. Hi. I'm going to have like a little discussion after the second period. Those who are interested, please stay behind. I know it's going to go into your lunchtime, but if you're willing, stay behind. Everybody's like, okay, what's up with him? Anyway, so nonetheless, but what happened, I told the other disciples that to come through, you know, to come through. I'm going to do my own discussion. Lord and behold, I did it. I was like, yeah, and God, I was more preaching than really doing any discussion. I was just going for it. But then a Muslim lecturer walked in. He's like, what's going on here? I'm like, you can see what's going on. I'm doing the Lord's work, dog. And he's like, you can't do that. It's illegal. You can't hold people against their will. Oh, I ain't got a gun or nothing, man. I just told him to stay behind. And he was making a big hoo-ha. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. You know, I am going for my vision. And the vision is to go out there and share my faith. To go out there and spread the gospel, irrespective of who comes here and tells me it's illegal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Not disobedient to the vision. You got to go for it, guys. Okay? Nobody's going to instill a godly vision in you. It comes from you being a worker approved through you reading scriptures and seeing what God wants to do through you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, and it's amazing. I've got a little clip. Hopefully it works. This is The Lion King.
Look, Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom. A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches.
Amen. Okay, now what's the point? Ooh. What's the point of this clip is, you know, Mufasa, ooh. He takes Simba up to the hill and he shows him. This is your kingdom. Everywhere the light touches. So for me, I needed someone, you know, and Jonathan was one of the way we like, imagine, guys. Imagine what it would be like when we fill up at the time CB38. We were just a handful, maybe three or four, and other campuses came through. Let's fill it up. Let's evangelize. Let's have vision for God. Let's go for it. Let's not hold back. God says it clearly in His scriptures. Guys suffered for the vision. Guys got persecuted for the vision. It says, I don't know exactly what it says. It says, you know, you cannot live a godly life unless you persecute him. So the point is here, guys, we got to be able to be that person that when you see the scriptures in the Bible, you don't disappoint God. And you say, I'm going to go for it. You know, and I'm not going to go through that, but it really talks about the zeal and our zeal for God. But finally, lastly, amen, we're all together, right?
Amen.
Having said all that, guys, is campus is an amazing place, amen? Amen. Campus is an incredible place to live life to the full. Is, you know, one thing that's for sure is you and I, when we are on campus, we have the time to have an amazing life. You know, guys, I'm working now, and I wish I was on campus again. I so, so wish. Because you have the time, okay? And the amazing part about this is, I'm gonna obviously, this is live to the full, but this is what, for me, makes sense.
Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. ain't no peasant craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's the motto?
Nothing. What's the motto with you? You know what? These two words will solve all your problems. That's right. Take Pumbaa, for example. Why, when he was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog.
Very nice.
Thanks.
He found his aroma like a certain appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul. Though I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. Changing my name.
Oh, what's in a name?
And I got downhearted.
How'd you feel?
Every time that I...
Hey, Pumbaa, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing praise.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yeah, see it, kid.
Amen. Good. The point is, guys, having said all that, okay, having said all that, live life to the full, you know? Imagine having friends like Timon and Pumbaa. Now, some of you are Timon, and some of you are Pumbaa, but the point is through all that, it's got to be fun, right? Campus, guys, when you become a single, when you become married, ish, there's other things coming through. So this is the time to have an amazing life to the full. Amen? So really in conclusion, it really is three simple things for me. You gotta be an armor bearer. Be one and look for one. Amen? You gotta set an example by being a worker approved. You gotta work towards doing your best for God. You gotta have visions and dreams on how you can have an amazing impact on campus, and doing all that, having a life to the full. Amen.
Amen.